I'm Jonathan Capehart sitting in for Leonard Lopate. It's been 50 years since Woody Guthrie died, but his songs about disenfranchised workers and undocumented immigrants seem as timely today as they did during his lifetime. Woody says the life and music of Woody Guthrie, a musical tribute to the singer, is currently on stage at the Irish Rep on West 22nd Street, where its run has been extended twice, and it's now running until September 10th. And I'm delighted to welcome two of its creators and stars to the show, David Lutkin and Helen J. Russell. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Very, very much for having us.
And David's got his guitar. I was hoping you'd be like strumming along as I was doing that introduction over the music that was playing. But David, you're credited as deviser, performer, and music director, and you narrate the show as Woody. Why did you want to create a show about Woody Guthrie?
Well, that's how long have we got?
Not that long.
All right. Well, I'll do my best. Basically, I believed, and I think I'm right, that a biographical show about Woody Guthrie would be a great thing. And I was encouraged along those lines by Harold Leventhal, who was Woody's old manager, and gave me most of the materials and most of the encouragement for basing this show on Woody's own writings. Particularly his column, Woody Says, which he wrote for the People's Daily World newspaper back in the late 1930s and early 1940s, and just as a way to show people in a theatrical setting the incredible depth and breadth of his music and poetry.
When did you first hear his music?
When I was three.
You remember that far back, 3 years old.
Yeah, well, I was three. I started in nursery school in Dallas, Texas, and I didn't know that my music teacher was a socialist, but apparently she was.
In Texas.
That's right. But we began singing all kinds of folk songs, and Woody was certainly included because, of course, he, even though he was born in Oklahoma, he did a lot of his growing up in Texas. Mm-hmm. And my teachers had certainly adopted him as a native son of Texas, and they wanted us to know all about him and his music.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Helen? When did you first hear Woody Guthrie's music?
Pretty much about the same time. I had a very hip elementary school music teacher, Mrs. Kaplan. She was swell.
Where was this?
In Frederick, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And my mom was also a music teacher. My dad was a musician, and we had hootenannies at our house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you been in the show since its inception in 2007,
since before
right?
Its inception.
Before its inception. Right, that's right, because you are a co-deviser.
Since it was still on paper, yeah.
That's right.
Luckily, blessedly.
Mm-hmm. And so then how did you meet?
Well, we met because of music.
Right.
A long time ago, 30-some-odd years ago, I guess. When I first came to New York, I was playing in joints on Bleecker Street.
Cottonwood Cafe.
That's right. And all because the only reason I got hired was because I was from Texas. But Helen came and heard me at some point there. And eventually, several years later, gosh, a decade later, I guess was the first time we ever actually worked together. But when I got ready to put the show together, I went back through a lot of my theatrical experiences and guitar playing experiences, and I picked the three other people that I could think of who were the absolute best at this kind of material, Helen and Darcy DeVille and Andy Tierstein are the other two, and decided on that group as the devisers.
So has the show changed over the years? Because it's a four-person ensemble, two men, two women. Has it changed?
Not that aspect. It changes every time we do it.
That's right. Every show
based
is different.
On whatever's in the news. That's true. Based on what's in the news or where we're playing or what songs David wants to slide in
That's right.
He feels are important at the moment.
We had Kieran O'Reilly at the Irish Repertory Theater wanted very much for us to put the newly discovered lyric about Fred Trump into the show. But I haven't managed to do that.
We have a couple more weeks, Dave.
That's true, we do. But the show started off 1 hour long, and we gradually added material to it over several years, mm-hmm. and have continued to tweak and change things as we've gone along.
And like I mentioned, it's now at Irish Rep. But where did you debut it?
Well, the first time we ever did it was at the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland in 2007. And as I say, it was 1 hour long, and we had a great time.
It my gosh.
Pretty spectacular.
But why Edinburgh?
Well, I first of all, I wanted to go to Edinburgh. But secondly, I guess it was really because I went to acting school in London. And while I was there, I played in pubs and bars and things. And I would play all these old tunes and a lot of new tunes and all kind of different things. But any time I would play a Woody Guthrie or Leadbelly song, quite often someone would say to me that that was that they were very familiar with those songs because of Lonnie Donegan. And, of course, I had heard of Lonnie Donegan, but I didn't know a lot about him. But Lonnie Donegan from the north of England had great hits with Woody Guthrie songs and Leadbelly. His great claim to fame was, does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? But that's not a Woody Guthrie song. But he was a very famous fella. And American music and many cultural things, but particularly American music, very, very popular all over Great Britain and Europe. And I learned, or that was sort of finally corroborated for me when I lived there for a couple of years. And so when I got ready to do this show, I thought the perfect place to debut it would be in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. So that's where we went.
Now, you play a wide variety of instruments. There's the fiddle, banjo, bass, mandolin. How many in all?
In the show?
Yeah.
I think last, was it 22 if we count two spoons? Is that right? I don't remember.
I think actually it's up to 23 or 4.
Oh, okay,
now,
all right.
If you count
Oh,
two
the glockenspiel.
Spoons. That's right.
That's right.
We got a little chime thing.
Like, how do you play spoons? I've seen it like in the movies and on television,
but
I mean,
to the show.
Yeah,
and
you lay them back, you lay two good sized spoons back to back, and then someone with great dexterity
really hard
and
that's what I meant by like how do you
you're sort of like a castanet. I mean, sort of
with the handle,
but the other way.
A little bit like the bones and
or the
all
bones,
those
yeah.
So.
I'm Jonathan Capehart filling in for Leonard Lopate, and I'm speaking with David Lutkin and Helen J. Russell about their play, their musical, the tribute to Woody Guthrie. It's called Woody Says, The Life and Music of Woody Guthrie. Helen, you were saying, when I asked the question about how has the show changed, you mentioned how it changes every day. It depends on what's in the news. And David, you mentioned the song that Woody Guthrie wrote about the father of
old
the current
Trump,
old man Trump. And you've got your guitar here.
Oh.
I mean, do you want to just
perform
few words?
Well, what he did was he moved into a place called Beach Haven, which was built by Fred Trump. And he discovered after he had signed his lease and moved in with his family that the place out there was segregated.
And this Woody, is out in Brooklyn.
That's right. And Woody was quite adamant about that as being a bad thing. And pretty much all of his career, though not all of his life, he had been dead set against things like that and mm-hmm. inequalities of all kinds. So his old tune, which is called I Ain't Got No Home, which goes like this. I ain't got no home, I'm just a rambling round. Just a wandering worker, I go from town to town. The police make it hard, boys, wherever I may go. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore. So he wrote many, many lyrics that he never actually put to music. But a fellow named Will Kaufman, who wrote a great book called Woody Guthrie, American Radical Patriot. He's, far as I know, is credited with discovering this about a year and a half ago out at the Woody Guthrie Archives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This lyric about Fred Trump. And so let me see if I can remember it. Because it goes to the tune of I Ain't Got No Home. Oh, have I got
Ooh.
It?
Oh,
wow. I'm prepared.
You've done some work. Well, good. Good for you. Thank you very much. And he actually... It's interesting. He wrote a little sort of a preamble to it that says, I suppose old man Trump knows just how much racial hate he stirred up in the blood pot of human hearts when he drawed that color line here at his 1800 family project. Beach Haven ain't my home. I just can't pay this rent. My money's down the drain and my soul is badly bent. Beach Haven looks like heaven where no black folks come to roam. No, 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 old man Trump, Beach Haven ain't my home. And I'm sure he went on for quite a while.
I bet.
Yeah.
And that was a song about Fred Trump, the father of President Trump,
right.
Where Woody Guthrie lived back then. But the most famous song that Woody Guthrie wrote is This Land Is Your Land.
That's right.
What inspired that?
Oh,
they're
right.
Pointing at each
I'll
other.
Do my best. I'll see what I can do. Well, I think a lot of things inspired that, but specifically the thing that everyone talks about, which is very true, is that in 1939 and 1940, during the winter, Woody went across the country, and a lot of it hitchhiking, and he wound up in New York in January of 1940, and stayed with Will Gear for a time, and then he moved into a rooming house because he never took a shower in Will Gear's house, and they finally asked him, "It would be better for you to leave." And, and so he went to this rooming house called the Hanover House at, I think it's 43rd and 6th, which, of course, it's no longer there. And all of this trip and all of this time, he had been hearing the song God Bless America by Irving Berlin, sung by Kate Smith, of course, very famous songs on the radio an awful lot. And Woody thought that that song put an awful lot of emphasis on God. And not that he didn't see the good in that, I think, but he believed at this time, in the after his experiences through the depths of the Great Depression, he believed that that was not such a great idea, that we needed to put a lot more emphasis on helping one another. And so he was a little bit PO'd, I think, by the fact that that song had become such a great hit, and that it seemed to him to have gone even beyond that to be suggesting that with the war breaking out in Europe and all kinds of terrible things happening, that he believed the song sort of suggested that what might have been called in those days American exceptionalism was somehow sanctioned by God. And he didn't like that. And so on February the 23rd, 1940, he sat down at the Hanover House and on 43rd Street and wrote This Land Is Your Land. And quite a few of the verses don't get sung very often.
Yeah, because they were considered a little too political?
Well, also, it took a while for this song to evolve, according to what I know, and there's plenty of things that I don't know about Woody. But it wasn't on his list of songs that he sang very often for 4 or 5 years. And eventually, it was Pete Seeger who encouraged him to sing it because Pete thought it was a great song. And but the original verses, yes, there are a couple of them go a little bit counter to getting something on the radio. And so here we go. In the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people as they stood there hungry. I stood there wondering, is this land made for you and me? There was a big high wall there, and it tried to stop me. And on the sign it said, private property. Yeah, but on the other side, it didn't say nothing. That side was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land, which I think everybody knows that part.
And is the reason why, like, that lyric was never really sung is because it was an allusion to socialism? Like I asked before, a little too political?
Probably. I mean, we have talked to people across the country that said that those verses weren't in their school book. They weren't in the music book that they had learned the song from. So, yeah, I think it was probably the fear.
Well, and as I say, the song evolved over a period of time. And I think in 1939 and 1940, when he first wrote the song, he wrote those verses, and then he wrote many more verses, actually. And other people have written hundreds of verses to the song. There's a version for Canada, and there's a version in Ireland. Right. There's a, you know, that talk about with the different chorus. The original final line of the chorus on the piece of paper that he wrote it on was, "God blessed America for me," which he then crossed out and put in, "This land was made for you and me." So I think you're probably right. I think by the time they got around to singing that song, they were more interested, he and Pete and others, were more interested in the lovely aspects rather than the very pointed aspects.
This is a really terrific conversation, and we are out of time as you hear the real Woody Guthrie coming up slowly in the background. I've been speaking with David Lutkin and Helen J. Russell. They are co-devisors, performers. David is the music director of Woody Says, The Life and Music of Woody Guthrie. It is on stage at the Irish Rep, 132 West 22nd Street. Until September 10th.
That's right.
Thanks so much, David, Helen.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here.
Rich man took my home and drove me from my door.